Oh, we do indeed have a God who will not fail. I'm so excited to be able to be with you today and thank God for the great privilege of standing here and opening with you God's holy word. I will mention, because some of you are aware, that it is my typical pattern to use the New King James Version of the Bible. Today I will be reading from the New Living Translation. I mentioned that because some of you may be using an electronic device with YouVersion app, and you can easily switch to that if you would choose to do so. I'll be in Psalm 16 in just a little while in the New Living Translation. But first, let me tell you a little story. It's been quite a number of years ago now that a young lady, a wonderful young Christian lady, who was part of the ministry where I was serving as pastor, came to me to share with me an exciting bit of news. She shared with me that she would soon be leaving, and she would be spending 2 years in a foreign country as part of a program through the International Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. I was excited for her, and oh, she was filled with Jesus. She went to that foreign field and she served well, but it was not exactly what she had anticipated. Indeed, there were stresses there that she had not realized would be there, and there were interpersonal conflicts that came up because people are people anywhere in the world, and so she struggled with that. And one day she sent me a letter, and in that letter, she poured her heart out, and I was glad that she did. I really was. And typically, I would have just given her a word of encouragement, but somehow something caught my attention. And what caught my attention was this: how many times she used the word I, me, this, that. Sometimes it was they. It was that kind of letter. And somehow, I felt prompted in my heart, whether correctly or incorrectly, to send her back this question. Listen, when did Jesus cease to be enough for you? Now that sounds kind of in your face, and for those that know me and my family and friends, that's not typical with me, but I just felt like that she had her eyes for a little while off of him, and her eyes were on herself and upon the situation. And oh, she responded beautifully to that, served out that time with the mission board, and continues to serve Jesus Christ wonderfully well. But I want to ask you this question today. Is God enough for you? Is Jesus enough for you? Now, I know the religiously acceptable answer to that, but I want you to look into your very heart and answer the question, is God enough? It will surprise you when I say this: it depends. He said, oh, wait a minute, it should not depend at all. Of course God is enough. Yes, but I want to tell you something, I don't want you to forget it, that there are many gods, little g gods, that we have constructed, and those gods are not the God. And that makes all the difference in the world. God is certainly enough if it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If he is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then he is enough. But I will tell you that for many people, their gods are too small. And their gods do not represent the God of the Bible. That's why we're going to Psalm 16. Because in the 16th Psalm, we really look at a passage of Scripture, and that passage of Scripture is going to zero in on the God who is. The God who is. And I want you to understand, we've got to start there. Before I go any further, I'm going to give you 6 words to write down if you're a note taker. I don't want you to miss these, and I'll come back to them many times. So let me give them to you right now. Follow this. The God who is enough. I'll say it again. The God who is enough. Now, I'm going to say the first 4 words, and you, this great congregation out before me, and all of you that are watching online in your own home or wherever you may be, you're going to give me the last 2 words. The last 2 words are these: is enough. So be ready. Suck some wind into your lungs. Get ready. Here we go. The God who is. Let's try it one more time. We got close. The God who is. Oh, he is indeed enough. Psalm 16, you ready? In the New Living Translation, I'm in verse number 1, of course, reading the full psalm. Here we go. Keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my master. Every good thing I have comes from you. Verse 3. Psalm 16, the godly people in the land are my true heroes. I take pleasure in them. Verse 4, troubles multiply for those who chase after other gods. I will not take part in their sacrifices of blood or even speak the names of their gods. Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. You guard all that is mine. The land you have given me is a pleasant land. What a wonderful inheritance. Verse 7. I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and I rejoice. My body rests in safety, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word. Now, I want to invite your attention to something. Hopefully, your Bible's still open. I want you to go back and I want you to see verse 2, because something happens between verse 1 and verse 2. In verse 1, he says, keep me safe, O God. But in verse 2, he says, I said to thee, here it is, Lord. Now, most of, if not all your translations, will have every letter of that capitalized. L-O-R-D. Why? Because that was the unpronounceable name to the Hebrew people of the great Jehovah God. We call him Jehovah. We call him Yahweh. It came from the encounter with Moses at the burning bush where God said, I am that I am. So listen to me and listen carefully. The psalmist specifies the God he's talking about. And the reality is that has to take place because there is a tendency to create gods in our image rather than acknowledging the God who created us in his image. So we are talking about a particular God, not just a generic God. I find some amusement from those people who say something like this. Well, everybody has their own God, and we worship them by all different names, but really, when you get right down to it, they're all the same. No, they're not all the same. There's only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is the I Am that I Am, the Jehovah, the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He is our Lord, and everybody said, amen and amen. That's the God who is. And, as I've already said to you, the God who is, I'm just making sure you're all still on your toes out there. The God who is enough. Now hear me when I say, the God of your own creation is not enough. Hear me. See, when I was a boy raised out at the end of the road, I would have said it like this. The God who is enough. And the God who ain't. You get that? That's not good grammar, but you get what I say. And so if you've created your own God, fabricated him with bits of pieces of folklore and sentimentality, that God is not enough. But the God who is enough. If you have a God formed by cultural consensus, if there is such a God anymore, that God will not be enough. The God of the cults, who always either add to Holy Scripture or take away from Holy Scripture, the God of the cults will not be enough. The Republican God is not enough. The Democratic God is not enough. The American God is not enough. See, it's the God who is enough, not any other God. The God of contemporary Christianity, when he has been domesticated and put in a religious box, will not be enough. The only God who is enough is the God who is. And I thank God that he is. So here's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to take the first portion of this psalm down through verse number 6. And I'm going to share with you who this God is. That's all I'm going to do. I'm just going to share with you who he is. And as I do, you're going to be saying in your soul and in your heart, you're going to be saying, that God, Pastor, that God that you're talking about, that God is enough. He is enough for me. He's enough for my family. He's enough for my circumstances. He's enough for our world. He's enough against the coronavirus. Our God who is enough. So all we got to do is look at the text and answer the question, who is this God who is and who is enough? We go back to the text and we find immediately that in verse 1 he says, keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I looked at that word refuge using my New King James Version, and I found out 24 times in the book of Psalms we read about the refuge. Can I tell you something? You know this, but every one of us will have times we got to have a refuge. Every one of us are going to come to those times in our life. For David, the trouble came. He needed a refuge. He knew that enemies were rising against him. He needed a refuge. He knew that he himself would fail at times. He needed a refuge. He knew something else. Listen to me. He knew where to run. And you better know where to run, because one of these days, something's going to happen and you're going to need to run to the refuge. And the psalmist said, keep me safe, O God, for I have come to you for refuge. I love Psalm 46. It starts like this. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Now, what's the question of the hour? The question of the hour is, who is this God? Who is this God who is enough? Who is he? You ready for my first answer out of this text? It is simply this. He is the God who is our refuge in times of trouble. Let me say it one more time. He is our God who is our refuge in times of trouble. And trouble comes to us all. And we better know our refuge. When I was just that boy down in Dry Holler in Christian County, across the road from our home was a hill. We happened to own that hill, but it was called Mulder Point because of somebody who had previously owned it. And I was the baby in the family. Any of you baby in the family? Let me see. Yeah, so we're special, right? Let's just acknowledge that. But anyway, I'm the baby of the family. There's mom and dad and seven children living in a one-bedroom home near the end of the road down in Dry Holler. And being the baby of the family, I had this distinction. Everybody in the house could beat me up. Everybody in the house could whip me. And I had to find a place where my brother, Bud, oh, he was cruel to me when I was a child. 14 months older. He's the best brother in the world now, but not then. And so he would sometimes beat me up for practice. And if I tried to run, he'd pick up rocks to throw at me until I stopped. And then he'd come up and beat me up anyway. So, you know, it just was not pleasant. But up on Mulder Point, literally, there was a large rock that jutted out of the side of that hill. And I found that rock, and I'd go up on Mulder Point, and I'd get up on that rock, and I was king of the mountain there. I had a rock. My sweet wife, Debbie, whom I love with all my heart, one of the favorite songs that she sings, for as far as I'm concerned, is a Dottie Rambo song. Where do I go when there's no one else to run to? Who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? Who do I lean on when there's no foundation stable? I go to the rock. I know he's able. I go to the rock. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone which the builders rejected. Run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me. When earth all around me is sinking sand, on Christ the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. And I tell you again what you already know to be true. Someday the phone's going to ring and you need a refuge. Someday the tragedy is going to come and you need a refuge. And I stand before you with joy in my heart to tell you this simple truth. The God who is enough. Do it again. The God who is enough. All right, you're getting a little quieter on me. Stay with me here. The God who is enough. The God who is the God who is our refuge in times of trouble. Back to the text, if you will, please. And look again at verse 2. We're still in verse 2. Here's what it says. Now, you're going to like this. Every good thing I have comes from you. Isn't that sweet to your soul? Reminds you of another verse that says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow of turning. Everything in my life that's good came to me from God. So let me give you the second answer. Let me just give it to you right now. Here's the second answer. David calls God his master, and he knows how good God is. And here's what I want you to write down. The God who is our source for every good thing. The God who is our source for every good thing. There was a little girl, maybe 6 years old. She was in a class with older children in a small church. And the teacher said, who can quote the 23rd Psalm? And she waved her hand. And the teacher knew she did not know the 23rd Psalm. And so he tried to ignore her, but no one else was stepping forward. And she kept waving that little hand. And finally he called on her, and here's what she said proudly. She said, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I need. And sat down. And I will tell you, she nailed it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have no lack. Every good thing that comes into my life comes from God. God is my source. Now, church, listen to me as I speak to you from my heart. If you need rest, God is your source. If you need love, God is your source. If you need joy, God is your source. If you need forgiveness, God is your source. If you need peace, if you need purpose, if you need hope, if you need courage, and listen to me, if you need heaven, God is your source. And there's no other way than through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. What can wash away my sin, Derek? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And that's absolutely true. God is our source for every good thing. So the God who is enough. I'm going to say it again. The God who is enough. All right. And the God who is the God who is our source for every good thing. Now, this one is sweet to my soul. If you'll go back to the text and you'll look with me at verse number 5, he says, Lord, you alone are my inheritance, my cup of blessing. But here's the phrase that just drives its way into my heart. You guard all that is mine. Now, I want to underscore something with you and to you right now. You see, God not only gives you good things, God guards what God gives. Can I say that again? God not only gives us good things, but God guards what He gives. I was 12 years old when I got down on my knees at an altar at the front of the General Baptist Youth Camp between Forsyth and Taneyville, the White River Association of General Baptists. And I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life. And listen to me, my friend. I believe with all of my heart, He gave me eternal life. And I stand before you to say, He guards what He gives. He guards what He gives. Jesus said to His disciples, John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas asked him, said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Listen to me. I personally believe that if I am a child of God, born again, if I am ever truly His child, I am forever His child. Because He guards what He gives. One of my favorite scriptures on that subject is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. That's a double reservation. You've got an inheritance reserved for you in heaven, but you are reserved for Him, and the Holy Spirit is the guarantee, the down payment, the deposit, that someday Jesus will get all of you and Satan will get nothing. And I love that. What God gives, God guards. The God who is our source for every good thing, but the God who is the God who guards our inheritance. One of the things that I've noticed as a pastor, as people within the fellowship have grown older, including myself, I have found that there is a burning passion in the lives of people my age and older to preserve an inheritance for their children. I mean, they'll do without themselves because they want to leave something to their children and to their grandchildren. Can I tell you, when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, He gave to us an inheritance that nobody can take away. God will guard what God gives. The God who is enough. The God who is the God who guards our inheritance. Now, God willing, I'll complete the chapter next Sunday. But for right now, I want you to hear it one more time. The God who is our refuge in times of trouble. The God who is our source for every good thing. The God who is the God who guards our inheritance. And friend, listen, if you don't know that God, oh, you ought to get to know Him today. And you can by confessing your sin, by turning from sin, by putting your trust in the crucified Savior who died for your sins and rose from the dead, and asking Him to forgive you and come into your heart and give you eternal life. And oh, my friend, when that happens, your name is written in the record of those who will be with Him forever. Now, I want you to help me one more time. I'm going to give you four words. You're going to give me the last two. You in your homes, please do it. Do it loudly enough so your children turn around and look at you like something strange. All right? The God who is? Heavenly Father, I believe that from the depths of my heart, and I rejoice. In Jesus' sweet and wonderful name, I rejoice. Thanking You that there is nothing too hard for You. And as we face the current crises in our lives, help us to walk with confidence, knowing our God is still God. Our God is still good. Our God is enough. And Father, if we've been guilty of having any gods that are not God, then I pray that we would turn our backs on those little g gods and put our trust in the Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah, the I am that I am, and know that He will always be enough. I thank You for it. Draw somebody to You today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.